Jasodanandana Gajanjanarandana Jamonatira Jaya Radha Madhava Punja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 5 entitled Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 16. Aniyatam arevetram Asmakam ayasaskara Kulangarasya durbudhesh Chaturtosyoditabdama Aniyatam arevetram Asmakam ayashaskara Kulangarasya durbudhesh Chaturtosyodita dhamaha
Prabhus.
Vaishnavis, Aniyatam arevetram Asmakam ayashaskara Kulangarasya durbudhesh Chaturtosyoditodamahaniyatam. Let it be brought. Are. Oh. Vetram. The stick. Ashmakam. Of us. Ayashashkaraha. Who's bringing defamation? Kula. Sorry. Kula Angarasya. Of he who is like a cinder in the dynasty. Durgude. Having bad intelligence. Chaturtha. The fourth. Asya. For him. Uditaha. Declared. Damaha. Punishment. The stick. Argumentum ad vaculum. That's Latin, not Sanskrit or English. Translation. Oh, please bring me a stick. Can repeat. Oh, please bring me a stick. This Prahlad, it's damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy. Oh, please bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In political affairs, when a person disobediently agitates against the government, four principles are used to suppress him. Legal orders, pacification, the offer of a post, or finally, weapons. When there are no other arguments, he's punished. In logic, this is called argumentum ad vaculum. When the two seminal brahmanas, Sanda and Amarka, fail to extract from Prahlad Maharaj the cause for his having opinions different from those of his father, they call for a stick with which to chastise him to satisfy their master, Hiranyakashipu. Because Prahlad had become a devotee, they consider him to be contaminated by bad intelligence and to be the worst descendant in the family of demons. As it is said, where ignorance is bliss, it is folly to be wise. In a society or family in which everyone is a demon, for someone to become a Vaishnava is certainly folly. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj was charged with bad intelligence because he was among demons, including his teachers who were supposedly brahmanas. The members of our Krishna consciousness movement are in a position similar to that of Prahlad Maharaj. All over the world, 99% of the people are godless demons. And therefore, our preaching of Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, is always hampered by many impediments. Because of their fault of being devotees, the American boys who have sacrificed everything for preaching Krishna consciousness are charged with being members of the CIA. Moreover, the seminal brahmanas in India, who say that one can become a brahmana only if born in a brahmana family, charge us with ruining the Hindu system of religion. Of course, the fact is that one becomes a brahmana by qualification. Because we are training Europeans and Americans to become qualified and are awarding them brahminical status, we are being charged with destroying the Hindu religion. Nonetheless, confronting all kinds of difficulties, we must spread the Krishna consciousness movement with great determination, like that of Prahlad Maharaj. In spite of being the son of the demon Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad never feared the chastisements of the seminal Brahmana sons of a demoniac father. Omagyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sundyavari Paschitya Deshatarine. So Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 16. Oh, please, bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy. So, Srila Prabhupada here explains basically two things, or refers to two things. The first part of the purport, he refers to intelligence. Or the issue here is that the Brahmanas, or so-called Brahmanas, the teachers, Sanda and Amarka, are ashamed of their student, Prahlad Maharaj. And the accusation is that he has bad intelligence. Right? That's the whole case here. Why he needs to be punished? Just like when you go to a court case or there is a complaint, police complaint or something like that, you know, you ask, what are the charges? So why is Prahlad Maharaj being blamed here or accused of that he has bad intelligence? Right? So, therefore, they are saying he needs to be punished. So the issue here is intelligence. Their argument is he has bad intelligence. Right? So that we can make that the topic or the first topic of our discussion. The question will be, if we'll be in a court of law, right? And if we will be given the service to advocate for Prahlad Maharaj or for any devotee for that matter, that it's accused of having bad intelligence, the first question will be, what is intelligence? Right? What is intelligence? Anyone has a shorthand definition? Intelligence? We all have intelligence. Krishna says, Bhumirapanalova yu kammanor budhir evacha. One of my energies, one of my separated energies, is intelligence. And it's part of our ego, so we all have one. Sometimes some of us do not think enough of what is that we have, and thus we may not use it that much or that actively. But intelligence is there in all of us, in some more than others. I mean, we have this common passage where Prabhupada sometimes will get a little annoyed. And he will say, you have no intelligence. I was reading Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diaries at the very end of Prabhupada's pastime. And although Prabhupada, it was only 3 months before he left the planet, though Prabhupada was very sick and he wasn't eating. So you may say, you know, his spirit was very, or his stamina was low. So they took him to Rishikesh, and then Prabhupada was wanting chapatis that day. So, because they were not doing it well, so Prabhupada stood up and he started teaching them. And he was really fiery. He was giving them, you have no intelligence, no intelligence. To all of them, you know, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj is a very intelligent manager, and his hand, right hand, and secretary, etc. The Prabhupada was very heavy. No intelligence. So, sometimes the guru may say, or a teacher may say, you have no intelligence. What it means is that you're not using your intelligence, but intelligence is there. So the first question is, what is intelligence? Yes? The ability to discriminate. Yes, that's intelligence. What it's right from wrong, right? That's intelligence. So everyone has intelligence. Even the birds, the animals also have intelligence. They know what to do. They know where to go. They know when not to eat. Have you noticed sometimes the dogs, they eat some grass? Huh? It's because they have some kind of indigestion. So they know what to do. They don't have to go to a seminar or get a certificate and Google things. They know what to do. Right? They know. The birds, they know which direction is south, when to travel, etc. They know. So basically everyone, every living entity has intelligence to a different degree. Now the question here is, what is good and what is bad intelligence? Modern psychologists say that we have a number of intelligence. Some of you might have heard these things. You have spatial, visual, spatial, you have logic, mathematic, you have musical, linguistic, you have bodily, kinesthetic intelligence, different intelligence like that. Some say seven, different numbers are given. Basically, the idea is, how do you discriminate? How do you walk? How do you park your car? Right? How do you express your ideas? Right? How do you make sense of things? If I give you a formula and I say this, like science, right? You have to understand, okay, one plus one, and you go on like that, logic and all these sort of things. So all these sort of intelligence are there. But the acharyas, and I'm not criticizing, that might be quite real, it's just a deeper analysis of how our intelligence. Some people are more artistic, right? Even musical intelligence, it's there. You know how to accompany, you know how to put the pitch and the, you know, like that. Interpersonal, how you relate with others, social. Some people are quite limited about that. They don't want to deal with others, or they don't know how to deal with others. They don't have those filters. Some people are very expert, particularly politicians. They know who to hug, they know how to shake hands with, how to say nice words, all these kind of things. But the acharyas explain that basically, particularly Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and Prabhupada refers to that in his purports in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The word for intelligence in Sanskrit is buddhi. Buddhi, right? So, while I was for a few days researching on these things, I was quite surprised to notice how many times Prabhupada and Krishna even in the Bhagavad Gita uses the word buddhi. Many times. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains, not only in the Gita, but also in the Bhagavatam, that through buddhi, we can achieve the Lord. Right? Quite a statement. Through buddhi, we can achieve the Lord. Now, Prabhupada defines what is buddhi. Buddhi is not the mere capacity to analyze things. You know, you have this, what's it called, IQ? Right? Intelligence coefficient, right? Is it? So you have the higher IQ. That means you could be even like a genius. Right? You can really understand things and you can do all these long, long formulas and high IQ. Right? But Prabhupada defines buddhi. Prabhupada says that buddhi is the development of our inner feelings and propensities towards the Lord. That's the definition of Buddhi. Right? There are several definitions. Several times he speaks about this. And if you go, especially from the second half of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, a lot of these references are there. What is Buddhi? There are dangers with your Buddhi. We all have that. That's why we are here. There is a prediction in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is said that those people who have some intelligence, Sumedha Saha, they will join the Hare Krishna movement. They will join the Sankirtan movement. No? What's that verse? Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam Sangopangasta Parsadam Yagya Sankirtana Prajar Jajantihi Sumedha Saha. Another word for intelligence is Sumedha Saha. Very developed intelligence, Sumedha Saha. That's why you are here. That's why we are all here. We have some, by the mercy of Prabhupada and his disciples. So there are dangers also around your intelligence. So this is a very important topic. Why? Because this is like your steering wheel. So imagine you have a nice vehicle and you have the steering wheel. Right? So that steering wheel will allow you to use that vehicle and go from point A to V. Right? So, but if that steering wheel is not working, then you are lost. So Krishna explains that a couple times at least in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says that even the intelligence of someone who's learned it can be distracted, can be swept away, just like a boat is swept away by strong wind. Right? So if the intelligence focuses on sense objects, we can be just dragged off our track like that. So a few warnings are there of how to use our intelligence. Prabhupada, in some purports, in third chapter, he translates Buddhi Yoga, comma, Karma Yoga, or in simple words, Krishna consciousness. He says that. So in other words, if we use our intelligence and connect that with Krishna, that is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada made it very simple for us. Right? So the Acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that, have divided intelligence in two types of intelligence, just to make it simple and we can remember. There are two types of intelligence. One is material and the other one is spiritual. Pretty simple. Right? And this is the case of Sandana Marga against Prahlad Maharaj. They are saying, you have bad intelligence. From their view, right? What they are saying is that you have a spiritual intelligence and we only value material intelligence. I don't know your experiences, but when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, that was generally what I was told by my parents and some friends and different people. You know, you're going crazy. You know, you're studying this degree, whatever, and you have a job and this and that, and how can you do this? This is stupid. This is crazy. You know? This is, I don't know, I don't know here in India how much. I know some devotees in the West generally experience that because I think that in India still, some people may value, although I heard also that some families, they like you to be religious, but they like you to pursue your material goals. Yeah, they want you to get your degree and, you know, the whole thing, family life and success and the name of the family, right? But in the West, you know, If you want to become a spiritualist, that's pretty much condemned most of the time, especially in our movement, especially many years back when the movement wasn't so established. What to speak in Prabhupada's time, right? People were deemed as crazy. That's the idea. So anyway, that's what Sanda and Amarika are telling. You have gone crazy, so you should be punished. You are practically a criminal. You are going against the status quo. So this is the argument that these teachers are doing, because Prabhupada explains 99%, you know, Prabhupada is very shorthanded in doing these statistics, but 99%, so that's it. 99% of people are, what he says, godless demons. That's what he says. 99% of people in the world are godless demons. Therefore, majority of people will think that being a devotee, and what does that mean? Giving all your propensities, your desires, your talents, your life, your future, your hopes, your trust to somebody that you apparently cannot see. Show me your God. What is God? You may show them the altar, and then they see Krishna there, you know, blue, playing a flute with, you know, 9 girls around him. Okay, that's a little different, right? So, especially in the West, these kind of concepts are very challenging. So this is the topic of, this is the issue, the argument, the basis of Sandana Marka against Prahlad Maharaj. So then what to do? Prabhupada here in the purport switches gears, right? In the first one, he's discussing the point of intelligence, right? And the second purport, who remembers the second purport? I know it's Saturday, it was a Kadasi yesterday, so maybe the brain is not fully cranked up. Who remembers the second purport? What was Prabhupada's point in the second part of the purport? He refers to something very interesting, actually. No? Yes. 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 Very good. That people are accusing us as a result of having bad intelligence. Srila Prabhupada says here sarcastically, because of their fault, right? That's like of their fault. Prabhupada says, because of their fault of being devotees, the American boys who have sacrificed everything for preaching Krishna consciousness are charged with being members of the CIA. Now, maybe some of us, or maybe most of us, with a few exceptions, I would say, may not even understand much what is the context of all this. And we may see it like a passing comment. But actually, for Prabhupada, it was a very, very heavy thing. And I want to explain a little bit about this. If you read some of the Prabhupada biographies, you will notice what is the severity of what Prabhupada is saying here. Basically, Prabhupada's movement, particularly in India, wanted to be destroyed. Right? Some of the devotee Prabhupada disciples here present, the devotees here in Mayapur, they know about this. And you know, there's that instance when they send people to take Prabhupada in prison. Right? Prabhupada wasn't here. I think it was, what, 1977 or 1976? Forgot exactly when it was. But Prabhupada is reading about it, and he was in tears. He said, these rascals, these demons, they would have put me in jail, and I would have died. He said that, because they wanted to destroy my movement. Like that. He was very, very upset about this. So because mainly Americans and Europeans were the pioneers of this movement. So the Indian government at that time were very much against this. So they couldn't understand, because of their materialistic conception, they couldn't understand how these boys and girls, you know, having this bright future, the American dream, the European, Australian dream, whatever dream, especially in India, especially in those days, was thought like a very promising future, right? Even today, now many devotees from, many people from India, they want to go to the West, because in the West, or from other countries, you know, Africa, South America, many people want to go to America, Europe, because it's a better future, better social welfare system, more opportunities, more education, etc. So these people in the government, they were thinking, how can these Americans, how can these Europeans give everything up, huh? And live here like sadhus, mud houses. In those days, only Prabhupada's bhajan kutir was there. And even around the world, if you see some of the old videos from Prabhupada's times, you see devotees were living very simply. Now, we're kind of spoiled, but in those days, you know, how many people in an ashram? Right? A small house? 20? No problem. Right? How much space? You have your room? No, you have just a little 4 feet by 2. That's it. You have a sleeping bag, and that's it. Boys and girls. Everyone was doing that in Prabhupada's times. And for some time after Prabhupada left. So these people in the government, they were thinking, this is impossible. These Americans and Europeans, they cannot be doing this out of devotion. It couldn't register in their heads. They must be doing it because they are spies. They must be spies from the American government, CIA. Because it's a whole context. Because India at that time was accused of being too close to Russia. Right? That's the whole thing. I mean, you have to do a little historical research in order to understand what was going on behind the scenes. But whatever it is, Prabhupada was very upset. Prabhupada condemned them as a demoniac government. He was very upset. In fact, just 2.5 months before Prabhupada left, you know, he wasn't eating, he wasn't moving much, he was just, after they took him to Rishikesh, they brought him back to Vrindavan, and he felt restless. So then he said, take me preaching, he told Tamakrishna Maharaj. Right, so Tamakrishna Maharaj, being like he was, said, okay, I'll take you, where should we go? And then Prabhupada said, I want to go to Gita Nagari, to Pennsylvania, and I want to teach how to live the Bhagavad. That's why the place is called Gita Nagari. How to live by the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. So, amongst all this difficult situations that Prabhupada was going through, finally he flew. He went to London. You know that? Just 2.5 months before he left the planet, he went to London. Very frail, very difficult. Even to move him was a whole hustle. But he went, because he couldn't stand just to... he said, I'm dying just by hearing reports, you're killing me. He was satisfied by the preaching of the devotees and opening temples and book distribution and all that. He says, but I want to be in the action. I want to be in the ground. You know, like a good general. He wanted to be out there. So they arranged everything. There were months that Prabhupada wasn't already eating any solid food. but they took Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to go. So they stopped in London. And I think they stayed there for 10 days or something, because Prabhupada then got quite ill and he came back. He says, no, take me back. So my point was that when he was in London, he says, I don't want to go back to India. You know, after he arrived, after seeing all the devotees, I think the British devotees at that time had beaten everyone else in book distribution. And they were like on a constant marathon just to please Prabhupada, because he says, book distribution will keep me alive. So the devotees were like, you know, like that, putting a record in distributing books. And Prabhupada was coming. Imagine that. Everyone was already making up their mind, Prabhupada is leaving. But all of a sudden, Prabhupada, you know, got encouraged and he said, no, take me to the West. So the devotees, the UK devotees, the European devotees, were so fired up, distributing books like never before. And Prabhupada at that time, he said, don't take me back. I don't want to go back to India. It's there, it's recorded. And then he said, because of this, my point is that don't take lightly Prabhupada's purpose. Prabhupada said, my purpose are my devotional ecstasies. So each purpose that Prabhupada wrote, it has a history, it has a connection. One time I heard Indradyumna Maharaj giving a wonderful explanation about Prabhupada's purpose. He said that just like a doctor, you know, when you put that stethoscope, and then, you know, we all have been to doctors and they use that thing and they put it in your heart generally. Sometimes it, also when you're taking the blood pressure, they know, they can hear stronger, right? So they, you're breathing, your heart, you know, even sometimes the stomach, they tap and do things, yeah? So you can hear closely. So Maharaj was saying that when we read Prabhupada's purport, it's like having a stethoscope, right? And having the stethoscope in Prabhupada's heart, you know? Amazing. I never heard something like that. I was really impressed. Because if we read Prabhupada's purport scrutinizingly, and then go and research in the history and the biography, what's going on when he wrote this canto, right? It's very interesting. You know, Prabhupada is not different from the Bhagavatam. In fact, I want to wrap it up, as they say. Comparing Prahlad Maharaj, who in the previous chapter is described as the perfect devotee by Narada Muni, and by Prabhupada in the purpose, right? He's described as the perfect devotee. Although he was 5 years old, he was described as the perfect devotee, right? The pure devotee, the model, the role model. Little child, apparently little child. But I wanted to conclude saying that just in the same spirit as Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to the king of the world. He was the father. Hiranyakashipu was the king of the world, right? He defeated the demigods, and he took possession of, who's the head of the demigods? Huh? Indra. So he took, you know, sometimes when there is a, what do you call this, coup d'etat, you know, they bring down the government. And the opposition, you know, with their people, they take down the prime minister or president. It happens a lot in South America, so it's very easy for me to relate to that. So they take the guy down, or he escapes because he stole money most times. And then somebody takes over. They go to the presidential residence, you know, like they have the White House and things like that. So the same thing, Hiranyakashipu had taken over the world, the universe. So here he was, Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old, preaching to the king of the world. Like recently, we saw the reports how the, I think now it's ex-prime minister of UK, right? This Cameron guy. He went to the temple, to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I think he resigned already because of what's going on in England. But it was a big thing, because they were saying that 35 years ago, the same political party wanted to close down the Hare Krishna movement. And 35 years after, there he was, the head of the party, going to pay his respects to Krishna. Right? So here was Prahlad Maharaj doing this PR, Sankirtan, preaching to the king of the world. It happened that it was his father. But he was saying exactly the same things that we say to the prime minister or to any president or governor or head of state. So he didn't mind, because it was a natural thing. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj had some masochist tendencies. He wanted to be tortured. He was like, nowadays, youngsters, they have this rebellious attitude towards the parents and towards everything that it's superior or reflects on authority. Right? Sometimes we have this protest. I don't think so much in India, but in the West it's very common. You have to rebel. You're a teenager, you have to rebel. You know, against parents, against teachers, against, you know, the state laws, like that. So Prahlad Maharaj was just preaching to his father because it was natural. He was asked a few questions. What is the best thing that you learned today? And then he tells him, to remember Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to serve his lotus feet. Is this, you're asking me a question, I'm honest, I'm just going to tell you. So in the same way, Prabhupada, out of love, he went to the West, and when people ask him, right, you have seen those tapes or videos or read, when people ask him, why did you come here? Right? When you arrived in America or in England or anywhere, what did you come here? What did he say? To save you from a dog's life. So many of those. Classic. To save you from hell. Not too diplomatic. I don't know how many of our preachers nowadays say like that. To save you from rascaldom. What does that even mean? So, Prabhupada was very bold. He went, he had no money in the beginning, no followers, no connections, nothing. And still he was giving the same message. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, at some point, Prabhupada was worried because he made so many devotees. Right? Thousands of devotees. Reportedly, around 12,000. You know that interview in San Francisco where the interviewer journalist, he asked him, so how many people do you have in your movement? Prabhupada said, committed? 10,000. And these are 10,000 preachers, 10,000 committed people who were on the streets every single day. Right? That was the mood. Every single day. After prasadam, out you go, out you went. Doing books. Everywhere around the world. In Africa, in South America, in America, Europe, Australia, everywhere. Russia was a little different or restricted at that time, China the same. But otherwise, that was Prabhupada's movement. Breed missionaries all over the world. And he was right in front, right? Like a proper general. So Prabhupada concludes saying that this is his finishing line. We must spread. Okay, nonetheless, confronting all kinds of difficulties, we must spread the Krishna consciousness movement with great determination. That's Prabhupada's move. That's the stethoscope right there. Right? Like the doctor. Oh, okay, this boy is healthy. Right, this lady, it's not too healthy, or whatever it is. So when we want to hear Prabhupada's heart beat, then these are the lines that tells us, this is Prabhupada. Right? And when we hear about his glories, and his teachings, and his pastimes, and we read these kind of things, nonetheless, confronting all kinds of difficulties, we must spread the Krishna consciousness movement with great determination like that of Prahlad Maharaj. Right, so to conclude, what is intelligence? What is good intelligence? What is bad intelligence? But how we practically can engage our intelligence? How can we make the best use of our intelligence? The simple answer is just to try to assist Srila Prabhupada in his preaching mission, in whatever way we can. Right? One devotee gave $10 to Prabhupada in the very beginning. Prabhupada wrote him a letter. Thank you very much for your wonderful donation for my book trust. $10. $10 is what? 600 rupees or so. Right? So much we can do nowadays. So much. Computers, internet, phones. So many educated, intelligent boys and girls from all over the world. So this is Prabhupada's request. To push, despite any difficulty, the Krishna consciousness movement with great determination. So we stop here. If there is any questions or comments, Prabhu? I don't know if... Here, Prabhuji, can you get the mic?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. I have a question. I have my old batchmates from my school.
You're all classmates.
Classmates, yes. Now they have connected me to their WhatsApp group. To be connected. They want me to say something good about this thing. But in return, what they are doing is they are putting in very, very obnoxious kind of texts. Make sure that I run away from the group. Uh-huh. So what should I do? Because I'm trying to preach to them, and these are very difficult people. And I told them, Prabhupada went to America. He preached to the drug addicts and all kinds of worst kind of people. So you are at least better than them.
Right.
Trying to help them, yeah. But still I don't know what to do because they are very obnoxious. I think
as a group, what happens? That's my because I am in the same boat like you. Also, they add me in the WhatsApp group and whatever. I generally don't say much. But as a group, sometimes it's difficult because it's a peer thing. It's a peer psychology. I'm cool because I'm nonsense. I'm cool because I drink or I smoke. Youngsters and older people, same. Right? I'm cool because, I bought this fancy motorbike. So cool. All this nonsense. Right? So sometimes it's hard because the peer pressure is there. So sometimes even out of ego, they may not accept what you want to say, although it's very intelligent, very honest. So my advice is just to take them one-on-one. See if you say something, I'm going to this spiritual something, or I heard this, or something that Prabhupada said, I don't know. And then see who responds. Who responds more favorably. I have friends also that they say, I went to the Hare Krishna temple in New York. I went to the Govindas somewhere. Then I know. I'm going to get this guy. Yeah. Then I can talk a little further. But when it's group, it's a little hard. Yeah. That's the idea. When group preaching, it's a little... Because they will challenge you. It will challenge because you make them look bad. You kind of embarrass them because you are telling them you are, doing something which is not intelligent. But it's not cool to be philosophical. It's not cool to be intelligent and thoughtful and deep and introspective. That's one of the types of intelligence. Intrapersonal. Be reflective.
Actually, they are telling me that, I told them that I am from your group, I could become a devotee. Why can't you? I was worse than you. So,
right.
So why can't you also take it up? They said, we are not fit for this kind of thing.
Right. They say that in group. But when you start digging a little, they are suffering from mild depression and frustrations of sorts and different things. And then they start opening up. I mean, that's my experience too. I'm a general manager of this house, and everything is going well, and still I'm surfing and I'm still this and that and rock and roll and all the rest. But when you start digging a little, then they start, you know, I'm in anxiety because of this, and the doctors told me that, and my wife something, and my kids something, you know. And at some point, generally every sane person will wonder, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with, you know, all what I have? Everyone's just getting closer to the end. That's a reality. We don't want to sound fatalistic. We don't want to sound too pessimistic, but that's a reality. So sometimes it's good to bring a little shake like that. But depends on how they take it. Different people take it differently. Sometimes philosophy is good. Sometimes friendship is good. My Guru Maharaj, I asked the same question to my Guru Maharaj, and I said, should I just cut, you know, because many of them are favorable. He said, no, just maintain the relationship. Because one day, they will come and ask you. So if you have a good relationship, not that you hang out with them, take their association, but one day when they are in trouble, you might be the person that they will ask for solutions. So you keep that, keep waiting. Wait for the time, when the time is ripe. Okay, we close here. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.